Good evening. Welcome to Touchdowns for Dough, week 13. A Thursday night special this week to follow last week's Saturday night main event. Just me and Jack this week. Crazy week, which is why we're coming to you on a Thursday rather than a Tuesday. Do not worry. Normal service will resume next week, assuming that Nick is not at football. How are you doing, Jack? Feels like it's days since I've seen you.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's been a busy week, busy with work, and it's that time of year. We're getting towards Christmas. Everyone wants everything done. Mainly outside work, you know, like let's leave that to the winter for Jack. We love that. It's been a busy time. Last week, it was good. Could have been very, very good. That Eagles Bills game going to OT tilted me like anything. I don't tilt easily, but I was sitting second at one point in the Nat Coombs competition. I probably needed Pacheco to get into the end zone for, I think he got two anyway, but I think I needed to get him for the third time. And they got down to the goal line. Well, I needed it. Because I had Shakir in the Bills game and Josh Allen only had eyes for Gabe Davis in that overtime period. So that really killed me, unfortunately. But I still made a lot of profit. I just didn't. It could have been a very, very, very good week rather than a good week.
Yeah, no, you did make a lot of profit. You sent us the screenshots in the WhatsApp group. So we do know you did pretty well. I had the weirdest week last week because I spent literally from about Tuesday last week, I was like, I'm playing majority of my lineup, my players are going to be from the Houston-Jacksonville game or the Bills-Eagles game, okay? So 80% of my players came from that game, those two games. Both had lots of fantasy points coming, you know, coming out of those two games. I had Gabe Davis, plenty of places, you know. Nico Collins, I definitely had quite a fair bit of. You know, Lawrence Stroud, all of them. And I still ended up losing. It was so weird. I couldn't have attacked the slate any better than I did. And I still, DFS variance and all the various factors that go into it worked against me. So very frustrating.
I think my week worked out so well is because I'd locked Kyron Williams in every single lineup. I just, as soon as he come back, I mean, he was electric before he went down injured. And as soon as he come back, I thought, you know, McVay's just going to run the hell out of him because it's how that offense works. It proved it earlier in the season when they was on a little bit of a winning streak. They were running him really into the ground. I know Nick is a Rams fan, and I know he mentioned one of the early games this season, they sort of abandoned the run quite early in the game, and then they got beat in that game. And Nick was like, I don't know why McVay done that. And then the next week, he like pounded the rock again with Kyron, and Kyron got into the end zone like twice the week after. So I'd locked him in. I'd done what I normally do. There was two or three players that I normally lock into lineups across my three lineups that I build. And Kyron was one, and he went absolutely, well, he nuked the slate. So he was brilliant.
Yeah, you needed to have him. That was the one piece I didn't have because of the nature of my builds. I was paying down at running back no matter what because I was so focused on those passing games and stuff that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And they worked out well, but then I lost the balance because If there isn't a Kyron Williams, then probably I'm having a very different week. Yep. But there is. But he goes a 41. Was it 41 points or 43 points he scored?
It was a
must-have play to do well in anything. And he was like 18-20% owned, which is pretty high for a player coming back off of IR. I thought I was surprised about that.
He was coming back off IR, but I think there was rumours that he could have come back the week before. And they held him out. So I always like it when they sort of do that with a player. They've done the same with Justin Jefferson. They've held him out, gone on to their bye week this week, the Vikings. And obviously he's going to be back after the bye. So, you know, that's just another situation you can monitor. And I prefer it when teams do that. They leave it another week, like an extra week longer than what it probably needed to be. Because then you've just normally find that player's full go. There's no limitations at all.
But I was surprised that he was 18% owned, whatever he was in contests I was looking at, because a lot of the time people kind of, not forget, but even A-Chain, when he came back, or A-Chan, whatever it is, when he came back after his, and he was, you know, I know he got injured again, but he'd been rested for an extra week he didn't need to be, and he was only 12% owned.
But I also think that's a different situation there in Miami. You've got two or three backs that rotate within that backfield. As good as Achane is, like, because he is good there, but you've got two or three backs in that backfield that rotate, whereas Kyron's got, it's Royce Freeman, come on, like, the backfield is Kyron Williams, like, there's no competition there.
And Royce Freeman's getting less carries this week than he did last week, that's for sure. I'm pretty sure of that.
The Rams, Nick's exactly right, the Rams, when they establish the run, they're a very good team. So, it hurts Kupp and Puka, but when they establish a run, they're a very good NFL team.
Yeah, so it was a very, I found it a very weird week. I felt I did quite a lot. I was very proud of my lineups. I felt I did. Proud. I thought I made all the right decisions, but clearly, you know, and that's the funny thing is every slate's different. You know, one player getting us that sort of, you have to have score. The other reason, the thing that made it a have-to-have score, just talking generally process-wise, was the fact that it was so much far further ahead of everybody else at that position. And that doesn't always happen every week, you know? Sometimes there's like five players who score over 30 points or something and it doesn't really matter so much. But just one of those. But I was so locked on those two games all week that I just, you know, he wasn't even on my radar because I couldn't afford him.
See, I locked him in every lineup, like I said, but I didn't really get my stacks right. I mean, my stacks were fine. They didn't hurt me, but they wasn't anything special. Like, I had a Baker stack with Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans was great, but Baker himself wasn't particularly good. He went out injured within that game at some point as well. Kyler Murray, I had a stack with Kyler Murray who was, I mean, he just looked like he'd gone back to bad Kyler Murray, so to speak.
When's he been good, Kyler Murray?
I mean, he was good when he came back this year, wasn't he? To start with, I had a Stroud lineup as well, which was, you know, Stroud was fine. I saw Lawrence was getting heavily owned, and so I just went to the Stroud side of it. But you know, lineups stacks done okay. They didn't kill me, but having Kyron was certainly the difference.
Yeah, I'll come back to what you said about stacks in a second. What I found quite interesting was it was only 24-21, the Jags-Houston game, but there was still plenty of fantasy points around in that game. Yeah. I think a lot of content is related around, and a lot of projections and stuff, etc., are related around the game totals or, you know, the Vegas game totals for these games. And it shows that they can still be under and do well. There was something, by the way, Jack, I didn't tell you this or the guys in chat. You know, a few weeks ago, I won access to a load of 1 week season courses.
Yeah.
So I won a load of points to that. So I've been working my way through some. And this is so obvious. It is such an obvious point, but we forget about this all the time when we're looking at, say, the game totals. If a game total is set by Vegas at, say, 50 points, and we say that's a high game total, and that's a game we should target, you know what they're actually saying is 50% of the time, it does not reach 50 points. So half the time it does not go to that high total, and it's so obvious. But we always, when we look at using those for our sort of predictions, our projections, etc., we never think of it in that terms. We always think about the over. I just thought that was a fascinating point. There you go. You can get lots of fantasy points from cheaper teams. Talking of stacks, we had the second week in a row with a million maker winner with no stack.
I saw this. Because I saw a lot of DFS Twitter going nuts again about it, saying that it's wrong, it shouldn't win, and the usual things that you see from people on Twitter that just go mad
because they didn't follow the rules.
Yeah. Exactly, it won. Who cares?
It's like, who gives the monkeys?
Yeah, like, you know. Again, we can go back to the way I play football showdowns. I put a centre back in the captain position. No one does that. Well, why am I doing that? Because I'm entering one lineup against your 150 lineups. I'm going to get totally different to what your optimizer is going to tell you what to do. I'm going to get totally different on the odd chance that, I don't know, we go back to football here, Harry Maguire comes up and bangs in a bullet header off of a corner, you know. And when that happens, I'm dancing around my living room and your 150 lineups are sitting at the bottom of the contest. Get over it. Stop crying about it.
It's so funny. It is. It's so funny. They get seen like, I'm rooting for them almost like the underdog now, these lineups every week. It's like, it's so funny. So something we were just talking about, we've actually been talking about this all week since this happened and stuff, is again, I'm going to go back to some stats and maths about this. This thing about stacks or non-stacks, it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's pretend for 1 minute every single lineup in the Millie Maker was a stack. Then guess what? You've got 100% chance that a stack will win that contest because every lineup is a stack. So if there's, say, 20 or 30% of lineups in there which aren't stacked, I'm just guessing here. I'm not going to be bothered to do the maths or work it, find out. But I'm, so let's just pretend it's 20 or 30% are unstacked. Guess what? You've got a 20 to 30% chance a non-stacked lineup will win, assuming all things are equal. It's yeah. just, it's, it just makes me laugh. People, it's that thing that drives, you just, we laugh at it now, Jack, don't we? I think we used to get pretty annoyed about it. Those DFS rules, which people keep ramming down our throats that we're meant to follow.
Yeah.
It's just one of them. Just play the, if you got to get different to 200,000 people.
Can I, so I've seen this as well with Showdown. I've seen some content sites out there going, I'm not playing the defense on principle.
Is you don't want to win.
the principle is you've probably lost about 90% of the 90% of Showdowns this year because the defense has been frigging optimal in every lineup.
Yeah.
And in some cases, both defenses have been in there.
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah. And probably a kicker as well. And
I know we're going to talk about process tonight, but I mean that is just bad process to go in out of principle. I'm not playing this. Like, it's just, you know, there's certain players in the NFL I don't like. I don't like Derrick Henry particularly. I think he's a bit of a one-trick pony, but out of principle, I will still play him in lineups if I think he's got a good matchup that week.
Yeah. You know? Played him last week with his two TDs. I was quite happy with that.
It's bad process, man. And these guys are like content providers. They work for the big sites. I'm not naming anyone. I'm not naming and shaming. I'm not like that. But it's bad process. Get over yourself, you know, because someone's won something that your optimizer would tell you not to do that at all. Don't cry about it. Get over it.
Yeah, it does make us laugh. I used to get quite annoyed because it's just like you say, it's such a bad process, and it's bad for beginners because it's often you're hearing this stuff from these famous the big sites who beginners will naturally gravitate towards, and they're getting taught bad advice, you know, it's all bad advice like that. So, it's funny. Like before the show, you said, should we talk about Showdown? I just put in quotes, you know, play defense as captain. That's it. The end of Showdown, a talk. Like, and there might be another one of them tonight. The way it is. So,
I did it. What was that game the other night? The Vikings and the Bears.
Oh, God, who was it? Yeah.
So, I mean, I got the captains the wrong way round, but I put the Vikings defense in the captain spot, and I did play the Bears as well. I played both defenses. I'm in cashed.
Yeah,
You needed. I mean,
DJ Moore was the only one who scored on that game, wasn't he?
Yeah, DJ Moore was fine. I had DJ Moore in the lineup. Who I didn't have was the running back from Chicago, the Roshan. That's it.
Yeah.
I played both defenses and I played Justin Fields in that lineup as well. It's like people will look at that and think you're captaining the Vikings defense against the quarterback in the flex. I don't care because people, this is where you get, you know, we're going into it now, the process. This is how I get different with my one lineup to these 150 guys because their optimizers are not going to tell them not to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Showdown's all about negative correlation, is my view.
Yeah, and I wasn't far off hitting the optimal lineup with how I built that night.
Yeah, you know the great thing about the defense in captain spot against the opposing quarterback is if the quarterback throws a pick six, you lose a point because your quarterback has thrown an interception.
Yeah,
but you get 6 points the other way in your captain spot, or 9 points, or whatever it is. Yeah. Then your quarterback goes straight back on the field again. It's straight back in the game and gets some more points.
Yeah, hopefully drives it down the field, eats a few sacks along the way, and you're laughing.
Yeah, or maybe you can drive along the field a little bit. Another pick six back again, just get back on the field. Another pick six. It's like
exactly.
It's although it's negatively correlated because you get minus one for the interception, that's not going to kill you. And, you know...
The 6 points you get going the other way...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then your quarterback gets back on the field. So we've said for years, haven't we, Jack, about the negative... in showdown, negative correlation. You really have to have some in every lineup, I think.
And I was talking to Hannah Rowland the other day because she come fifth in the Matt Cullen contest I run on... Yep. Saturday, so I was sorting out the prizes for that. And then we were having a bit of a discussion about how I, because she basically asked me, she goes, "You seem quite profitable." I said, "Well, I'm not like profitable. I said, but what I do well is manage my bankroll. I told her the process of how I play, which is, I think people, regular listeners of this show will know, I'll keep it in simple man's terms. So if I'm playing, I do play more money than this, but if I'm playing with $10 per week, $5 goes into a GPP and then $5 goes into a double up. Theory is the double up's going to hit most weeks and I'm going to get my outlay back, whatever happens. That's the theory. That's how I play it. GPP and the cash game double up hit, then you are laughing that week. You're having a good week. Obviously, I play with more money than that. I don't play with $10 per week.
But it's not how big is my bankroll contest. Don't worry, Jack.
No. I want to be open with people. And to be honest, my bankroll changes each week, not because I can't afford to pay my outlay each week. It's because there's certain slates I don't like. And if I don't like the slate, I won't go fully in on it.
You had one a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I just said to you guys, I said, I don't like the slate. I'm scaling back. I said, I haven't had enough time to do research, because I was at work as well. So I've not enough time to research here. I'm scaling right back. I scaled right back and I lost. That was one of my losing weeks. Like, I lost both games. I was just like, fine. I'm glad in my head, I knew it was a bad slate for me. So that's part of my process. I recognized that I didn't like the slate and I backed away from it. And, I hear it from a couple, again, there's guys that I respect in the industry, Tambo, and he says it all the time. If you don't like the slate, if you don't have to play every slate, just take a night off. If you don't, you don't have to play every slate. If you don't like it, take a night off. And, that's one important thing for all DFS beginners to learn, I think.
Yeah. Is Hannah going to be a DFS degen now?
I think she might be, but I was just telling her as well. Like, she was like, obviously, she was asking me about like my GPP takedowns and things like that. And I said to Hannah, most people within DFS are scared to lose $15, which is fine. I get it. If you're scared to lose $15, don't play in a $15 contest. Go and play in a $1 contest.
Yeah, do 15 different $1 contests.
But that's fine. I respect people. Everyone's got different bankrolls, etc. I play them contests. I'm not scared to lose. I play them contests to lose that $15. I know I'm going to lose it because of the way I'm playing. But again, back to the football scenario, that one-off chance where Harry Maguire comes up and goes bang off of a corner, I'm dancing around my living room. And you only need one of them to hit, really. And then you're set for a while.
Full season, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So that's the way I play. I'm not scared to lose the money that I'm putting in because I can afford to lose the money that I'm putting in. And that's how it should be for everyone. I'm not going to put a chalky cash line up in a GPP contest just because I want to get a min cash. I'm not going to do that. That's not how I play.
Yeah. Also, the other aspect of that is, you're playing basically a double ups almost to effectively to keep yourself above water.
Yeah.
That's what you're effectively doing. If you're going to win the GPPs, DFS is so hard now. NFL contests are so hard to win. I was playing in, I've been crazy busy the last few weeks, so I've been really scaled back, but I was playing in the sort of the $1.20 entry contest. Yeah. It had five entries which scored more than the Millie Maker winner. And that's got the people playing, one. So it's all the pros are shut out from that. That's effectively either people who haven't won, I think I think, or won $1 million over their lifetime or something, or you know, it's all to do with volume and stuff, how much they've won and spent. So that's like, in theory, the, you know, not the beginners, there are beginner entries, but like that's the most the sort of the least experienced who are playing it at, and you had 5 entries over the Million Maker total.
Yeah,
that is mad. What chance have people got and stuff? It's like, you know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of process, Jack? Best ball. We were going to talk about best ball process, weren't we, as well? If we're done with the DFS side. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's similar. It's linked. It's very much linked because of the subject we were going to talk about.
It's entirely linked. So me and, obviously, there's no secret. We have a WhatsApp group and we talk quite a lot, all of us. And
not this week, it's been very quiet.
We've all had a busy week this week.
Yeah,
except Nick, who went to Winter Wonderland.
But
the rest of us have, you know, got full time jobs and got to work, you know, or a business to run like myself. So we love you, Mr. Nick Wigan.
Yeah, but by the way, you're whatever, what is it, £190 a year richer after the latest budget or whatever, isn't it? Or something daft like that, something tiny like that.
Yeah.
It's like that's meant to gain your vote for the Tories. Anyway, no politics.
Is it really? That's how
it is. Something ridiculous like that.
As long as they don't tax me on gambling winnings, I don't care. So So yeah, no, back to best ball, and my process within best ball is exactly the same as DFS contest, daily fantasy contest, and that is, I'm going to read all the content, I'm going to consume all the content, see what everyone else is doing, and I'm going to do the complete opposite.
By the way, the reason we're talking about best ball right now is because it's coming up towards the end of the best ball regular season. So we've actually got an idea of how we've actually done. And
I'm doing quite well.
Yeah, me and Jack, we're right at the beginning of the season. We didn't actually discuss this, Jack, before we started doing it.
No, we didn't at all.
And we both did the same thing as you. So we basically saw almost all content was saying draft wide receivers as early as possible, wasn't it? Pretty much. That was pretty much the overall view on it and stuff. So me and Jack started not doing that. And then after we'd done this for a while, we started talking about it openly in the group, and it was like, oh yeah, we're both doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But the funny thing is, Jack's doing very well. I'm not doing very well. So we're drafting it. So, you know, the funny thing I like about best ball is that everything has a title, doesn't it? Like hero running back or whatever it is. There's all these other ones. Zero RB. Heroes, all these other things. And ultimately, in my view, it's all just gibberish, because what it comes down to is picking players who do well and players who stay fit. And it doesn't matter. Me and Jack have been both best ball drafting in the same contrarian way, and we're having very different results.
I people can call me arrogant and things like that. I said this to Hannah the other day. I don't play, and I've said it to Mark, and I've said it to Nick as well. I come fourth in that Euro League contest the other week, and I was annoyed. Yep. I don't play to come second, third, or fourth. I play to win. That's it. I do that in anything, any sport I play. I play to win. I don't play to come second. It's just the way I'm built. I'm sorry, and people can call me arrogant and whatever they want. It's how I play.
I'll wait till we're off the air.
Well, yeah, no, it's fine. I do not care anyway. That's the way I play. And I play DFS, I play best ball exactly the same. So if I see someone doing something, I will do the complete opposite to them. Mark said, everyone was going wide receiver to start with. I just went running back. My theory with that is that's how I've always played, kind of like redraft fantasy leagues in the past. I've always gone RB heavy to start with, because running backs get beat up. They get injured. They're one of the quickest positions to get injured in the season. So I've always been like that. I've always drafted running backs early. I take punts on wide receiver twos a little bit later on, like your Gabe Davises and people like that. And then what I do at the end of drafts, where all these people fall in love love with rookies. That's a, you know, it's a bad trait. I used to do it as well because I used to play a lot of dynasty leagues, and I used to fall into that trait. Well, there's, you know, hot shot rookie off the block here. He's going to do really well this season. No. Half the time, them rookies foul. Look at Quinton Johnson this year. He's been awful. Yeah. I'm not saying that he's going to be a bad NFL player. You know, down the line, he might be a very, very good player down the line. But there's been loads of them. Jalen Reagor, another one, for example. N'Keal Harry. I, at the back end of my drafts, was just taking people like Gus. I mean, I've got about 90% of Gus Edwards across my lineups. But I don't really care. You know, I've lucked out with a Dobbins injury, obviously. All right, they're using a bit more of Keaton Mitchell now, get down the stretch. But Gus is the one that they use on the goal line. And they're the most valuable touches in best ball. If he's getting in the end zone two times a game, they're the most valuable touches to get. So I've always kind of been that way. But again, my process within best ball goes straight back to the way I played DFS. If someone's doing something and 80% of the field are doing it, I'm going to go the complete opposite way and do the totally different thing to it.
Yep.
Because I want to win. Yeah. I want to win.
Yep, agreed. The other thing about this, it comes down a little bit to what I said earlier about the Millie Maker contest and the self-fulfilling prophecies. If, for example, using Jack's numbers, again, we don't know what the stats are, but if 80% of the lineups in a best ball competition are wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, you know, all things being equal, you've got statistically, you've got 80% chance that the winning lineup will be wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. Unfortunately, with things like DraftKings and stuff, you don't get the stats. You can't get any stats on across all of the contests of how what type of constructions they all draft they are. And but I think, you know, until about 3 weeks ago, I was doing pretty well. I was doing actually really well. And then I don't know whether it's buys have hit me or not, or injuries. Some of my teams are just decimated. It's like, you know, they call it best ball, but I've only got one version of the lineup to play.
I can't remember what week it was. So obviously this is my highest scoring lineup as well. I think it was week 11. I didn't look. It was week 11 or week 12. I didn't look. Obviously when I was drafting at bye weeks, and none of my, I had no quarterback. One was injured. One was injured and done for the season. I think it was Garoppolo. It was my third quarterback in that. And then the other two were on the same bye week. So I had no quarterback that week. I still finished third that week in scoring.
You know, I got to the last, you know, you won the inaugural one of these, but I got to the last 16 this year of the FFCC.
Yeah.
And I did that with barely any running back points at all.
Yeah.
At all, because it was a tight end and a kicker heavy scoring system. And I think I was getting 6 or 7 points from my running backs every week. As a pair. And then the reason I went out was I hadn't even looked at bye weeks when I was drafting them all. And I just had this one disastrous week with a combination of injuries and bye weeks. And that was it. But I was, that's definitely the best run I've had in any one of these competitions. I was the only one doing, in our draft, I was the only one taking tight ends and kickers so early. and I know, Jack, you know, I think you're going to move on to this now. You know, I know you like to, like, you know, annoy the rest of the drafters with your strategies based on the scoring system.
No, I wasn't actually. I was going to say another player that I was getting in best ball all summer was Mike Evans. No one wanted to draft him. So it's just like, this guy has gone over 1,000 receiving yards every year, and all he does is catch touchdowns. And Baker Mayfield is a bit like Jameis Winston at times. He'll just sling it up and, you know, pray and hope that his big wide receiver can get the ball. And Mike Evans is good at that. So I was like, why is no one drafting Mike Evans? I've got about 90%. He's in like 90% of my best ball lineups, Mike Evans. Yeah. It was a steal this year. I was just like, I couldn't understand why people. And then that by drafting Mike Evans as my wide receiver one in all my teams, pretty much, that allowed me to draft 4 or 5 running backs to start the draft off. Mm. But yeah, I do like to. I think it's a legitimate strategy. I do like to annoy people when I'm drafting, and I will do things that get them outside their comfort zone. Put it that way.
Yeah. Yes. I think. you know, I think there is a sensible piece of stuff generally here, because we're linking best ball to DFS, because we were talking about best ball just before the show and stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're using very similar techniques for them. Jack's got a history of doing well in best ball style contests, like FFCC and things like that. And yeah, I think it's definitely something you can use similar sort of thinking anyway.
I actually had Steve's projections for the first FFCC. So I'd used his projections. And obviously I won it. And he sadly passed away halfway through that contest. But I'd used his projections when I drafted. I mean, if he was still alive now, I dread to think how much money we'd be making playing DraftKings, me and him now, with these projections. But yeah, he was pretty good with his projections, old Steve. He just gave me an Excel sheet and I was like, what the hell is this? just use it. I got my way through it. And, you know, I was, again, even in that, the first FFCC, I was drafting guys like Deshaun Jackson right at the end. And like a great best ball player.
Does is catch the ultimate.
60-yard bomb down the field. That's it.
I've seen a lot of that punt return of his this week, by the way, on the Twitter against the Giants from a few years ago from that game. I thought you'd think so. Before we move on to just reviewing game day, just wanted to say what a great show we had on Saturday night. It was an extra show. We had Matt Cullen on talking about his dad and the contest which Jack and Murph had organised, etc., and everything related to that. You know, the target's been smashed now for what he was doing. I think he's going down tomorrow, I think, if they're just giving page, if it hasn't already.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think so. So if you still want to, that'll still be open for you to donate to. It's a great show. It was really great to hear Matt talking about his dad the way he was, and in so calmly, considering he'd only passed away, a week earlier?
Yeah.
And stuff. But the contests were fantastic. Some great prizes won. Am I right thinking friend of the show, Matt, won yours?
He did, right?
Yeah.
So Matt the weatherman. He ended up winning the Wembley tickets, the Nick Bolton signed helmet, and a fantasy game day token. So congratulations to him.
Nice. So yeah, and I know Murph's competitions are still going on, aren't they? Because they're towards the rest of the season, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they're rest of the season ones. So yeah, no, fantastic. Still amazed about that. Love doing the show. We even did picks, Jack, on it, which...
We did.
Sort of worked out. We mentioned Gabe Davis. We did mention him.
We had Mike Evans in the captain spot.
We did. And we know none of us played that lineup.
No, I
know. So anyway, because there's no Nick, we haven't got our graphic design team here, have we? So
no,
we haven't got a graphic for game day. So I'll have to read last week's winning lineup, which was a Brown 5184. It's like... I don't know why the colour brown makes me laugh, because I'm a child, probably. The guy got 198 points. So his team was, he had Kylo Ren Williams as his captain, which I think was quite a brave choice. But as a captain, definitely have to come back. So then after that, he had a Stroud and Tank Dell stack. He then had Bijan Robinson and Javonte Williams as his running backs. Then he had Puka Nacua, Jonathan Taylor in his flex, and Dalton Kincaid. So actually, if I look at this, three of them didn't really get there. Javonte Williams, Nacua, and Dalton Kincaid. But he's hit a captain, CJ Stroud, and then the rest, Bijan, he hit Bijan, and then a couple of average scores from Dell and Taylor. So, you know, again, as we keep saying, you don't have to get everything perfect on Fantasy Game Day. You really don't.
No.
But getting a good captain is pretty handy.
Well, that's where the showdown theory comes into it. If you're now the captain, then you're certainly on the right path to taking something down. And Kyron was obviously the optimal captain on Get Fantasy Game Day last week. Interesting to see how highly owned he would have been.
Yeah,
as the captain.
That's coming. Apparently, Gurmeet messaged me. I think was it after last week or the week before, where I said about, you know, it'd be nice to have some ownerships and stuff. He messaged, said he's spoken to them. It's on its way, I do believe. So, yeah, that'll be fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just a nice, solid lineup. To say the main thing he got right was the captain. And, again, it's the right captain because he scored a lot more than most other players, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than him just getting slightly more than other players. That's why he's a good captain. Yep. Also, it's been a few weeks since the captain has been the top scorer, I think, on the winning one. I think we've had a few more balanced sort of scores. So, yeah, I find that, yeah, and he also had Kyren and Puka Nacua together in the same lineup, which was definitely interesting. I mean, Puka didn't work out, but, like, you know, again,
no,
not many content creators or optimizer would tell you to build a lineup like that. So that's fantastic. Love it.
No, there's like you said, there's not really much we can say about it. He's got a stack in there, little stack. He's just nailed the captain. That's all you can say about it. He's nailed the captain that week, and it's done well with that.
The funny thing about stacks, I was thinking as well when I was listening to some stuff in the car the other day. We talk about stacks quite a lot because it's probably one of the more important aspects of DFS. It really feels like the skinny stack, like this, like is just Stroud and Dell, or the overstack, seem to be doing very well this year. We've talked about the overstack quite a lot already. The sort of traditional middle stack just doesn't seem to be getting at the top of the leaderboards in the same way as it used to. I don't know why that is. There's probably a good reason for it.
I'm sure why that is. I said, first show of the year, I was a big fan of, you know, of going in on these heavy game stacks, which I think's been... I mean, it's worked out pretty well all season, I think. So,
yeah, you know, it's been so interesting. So, yeah, so we have a offer on game day as well, don't we, Jack?
You can get a free entry in after your initial deposit and entry into a tournament using our code at TDS4D, and that will get you that deal. That's pretty much it for us, I think, this week, Mark.
I think it's a bit
short and sweet show, but we will be back to a full sort of schedule next week with Mr. Nick of Wigan back. As long as he's not, I mean, who wants to go and watch football? Who wants to go and watch Wigan in the free?
He's going above and beyond there, isn't he?
I mean, that temperature has dropped big time. It's freezing this morning, so
it's ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, no, it's been good. Actually, we've still done 40 minutes, Jack, so actually not too bad considering. Lots of process stuff this week. Lots of various things talked about. Yeah. So everyone can find me at _SMRF. They can find Jack at Jack Humphrey DFS. Have you got any final words? Oh, he's gone. He tried to leave too early. Any final words before we go, Jack?
No, that's it from me. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you then.